Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back, 34, after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been here a while, thank you very much. Lois Geller is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's the president of Mason & Geller Direct Marketing, which is the company that helped to get American Express and Weight Watchers back on track in their marketing effort. And she's the author of a number of books, including one of my favorites, Customers for Keeps, and the outstanding book, the book that sold something under 1 million copies, Response, The Complete Guide to Profitable Direct Marketing. Lois Geller, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jim. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you for being here. And Lois, you are in Southern Florida. You moved from New York City to Southern Florida sometime around July. And for some reason, right after that, Florida was hit with about 4 hurricanes. Have they said anything? Have the people of Florida said anything to you yet?
The mayor of Hollywood sent us a note recently, and they said, you know, things were all quiet on the southern front before you arrived with Mason & Geller.
Hurricane Lois shows up in the middle in the summer, and after that they have 4 record hurricanes. That's I just wondered if anybody else has drawn any connection there, Lois.
We're trying to keep a very low profile now.
Well, I think that's blown now, Lois.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Yeah, I'm always glad to help out whenever I can, Lois. Lois, one of the things that that I know and that you know is that small business owners typically, if you looked at 100 small business P&Ls, mm-hmm. profit and loss statements, mm-hmm. you would probably find, I'm gonna say less than 10% of those P&Ls have a real budget for marketing. They may have some advertising. They may have a little bit of advertising, but it's kind of done after a fashion. And when it comes to marketing, when it comes to reaching out and building a customer, some kind of customer base, developing a brand awareness, they typically have nothing in their budget for that. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would sadly agree with that.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I think that small business owners concentrate on what they do. If they're accountants, if they're realtors, or whoever they are, they concentrate on the business that they do. And being a marketer is a whole other business. I just came from a conference that I did in New York for dry cleaners. I've done a few of them for them. And when I go there, and many of them own 4 or 5 dry cleaning stores, they say, you know, it's really hard for us to do marketing when we're concentrating on the newest environmental friendly chemicals, and we're concentrating on new kinds of tailoring techniques, and we're overhauling our stores.
But they don't realize that that's their marketing story right there.
I know. And for some reason, they feel that if they're going to tell other people how great they are, that it's braggadocio.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think that what happens to us sometimes is the details, the nitty-gritty stuff that we work on that we think is nitty-gritty, that we think is just our basic mundane stuff, it's just kind of everyday stuff for us, but we don't realize that some of it is stuff that our customers would like to know about. It would make them feel more attached to us, more affection for our business if they knew that we were trying to stay ahead of the industry on environmental issues or whatever it might be.
We really would. Anything that a company tells me, little inside information about them, brings me closer to them. But for the most part, when you're working hands-on in a small business, you don't really think it's that interesting. And so you go and you improve your service or your product, and you don't really think that it's important to tell people, but it really is.
Right.
We want to know about it. We want to know why you're different, why you're better. And, you know, it's so funny. I moved down here to Florida, and I speak to small business owners all the time, but recently I've been doing a lot with dry cleaners, and so I had to get a dry cleaner. And I had a couple of sort of sporadic experiences with dry cleaners here where they didn't really get my cleaning back in time, and I was flying out and all this kind of service challenge I was getting. And manana, they were telling me, and I was leaving without my suit. And so I called the cleaner people that I deal with. And
Hold on to that thought, Lois, because I know it's going to take longer than I've got before we go to this break. And I'll get you to finish that on the other side. By the way, Lois, in case you didn't know, manana doesn't mean tomorrow. Manana means not today. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. If you have a question or a comment, ask Jim at jbsba.com. You can also subscribe to my newsletter at my website, jbsba.com. And don't forget, this week's the feature article is titled Business Growth is Not Genetic. So if you're interested in some perspectives on how big you should grow and when you should grow, I think you'll get it in that, find it in that article. And if you subscribe this week, we'll send it right back out to you. And that, and again, that's free. Lois Keller is our guest. She's the author of Response, the Complete Guide to Profitable Direct Marketing. Lois, give us your website, please.
It's Mason Geller, MasonGeller.com.
All right. And I know you got a lot of free stuff there, a lot of good information on marketing and customer care, that kind of thing.
We do.
And Lois does a lot of speaking as well, folks, in addition to her business, in addition to her books, in addition to the articles that she writes. She just does so many things for so many people. She also has quite an active and successful speaking career. And so if any of you would like to have someone speak to your organization about customer service, about direct marketing, that's one of your favorite topics, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So check it out. You can contact her there at her website. You were telling us about finding the dry cleaner.
Yes, and so I called my association in New York, and they sent me over a dry cleaner. And he picked up my stuff, and he delivered it exactly on time, and it was all perfect. And in delivering it, I said to him, Charles, you know, tell me how come you have it so down pat and you did everything so perfectly. It was up to my impossible standards. He said, it's really something that, you know, we do as a matter of fact. In fact, we specialize in flood and fire clothing that has been through all kinds of floods and fires. Sometimes warehouses, sometimes Bloomingdale's has a flood and they call us in and we do a... I thought, what an interesting thing. And then I looked at his ad, and it said dry cleaner, which was the name of his dry cleaner, Dry Cleaner. And it had the address, and it had his wife and his name on the ad, and that was all it said. It didn't say anything about specializing in that. But all of a sudden, that positions you in a whole different thing, because you can do impossible things. If you can do fire and you can do flood, you can certainly do my coffee stain on my new jacket. You know? And then he told me how he got into it, and it was a family business, and it started out with a terrible flood happened in Florida many years ago, and his dad had the business, and they took care of it, and that's how they got to be specialists in that area. But he hadn't told anybody that story.
Those are the kinds of things that people want to know about. It connects them to you, doesn't it?
It really does, and it also differentiates you from the others. You know, if you're the ones that saved Bloomingdale's dry cleaning, and there were 4,000 garments that you saved, it's entirely different than saying, "I am a great dry cleaner." You know,
right. And the thing is this is an area. You know, I spoke to a lady in the previous hour, Lois. Lydia Bastianich, who is an Italian immigrant who is very successful in the restaurant business, and I said, "What was the key to your success?" And she said, making sure that I hired people to do the things that I couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And so that made me think about her when you, what you were just talking about. We don't know about marketing. We're not professionals at marketing, but there are people who are, and we need to hire them and tell them our story and say, okay, what could you do? Here's what I'd like to recommend. Lois, you tell me if you, what you think. Talk to a marketing professional and like your company, for example, and say, okay, here's my story. What would you do with that if you had that story?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be the smartest thing to do. What happens instead of going to a real marketing person, small business owners tend to go to either family members that have, you know, taken a course or something in marketing, or they get some freelance person that knows marketing from the art side, the graphic side,
right.
And they start right away designing things that it doesn't make any sense. People really want to hear or read about what you do and why I should care about what you do and how it benefits me. And so it's a writer's craft, and yet it's always, I can get somebody to design you an ad, you know, or I can get somebody to design you a website. Don't think about design. Think about what the words are and what really is going to resonate with your audience.
Well, and also you got to go back and remind yourself the old saying, you get what you pay for.
That's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. And it seems like the funny thing was that when I spoke to a group of small business owners in Texas a few weeks ago, they were telling me that they really had no budgets and so that they could never afford an agency like ours on Madison Avenue. Of course, we've since moved to Florida. But they were saying, you know, they couldn't. And they had already had it in their minds that they couldn't afford, that they couldn't do, and that they only had a small budget. And when we had a breakout session at the end of my talk, some of them were saying, you know, I only have $50,000 a year to spend, or I only have $20,000. And I said, well, would you rather take the $20,000 and give it to a graphic artist and send it out to a whole lot of people and get no response, or give it to somebody who really knows what they're doing, concentrate in an area, and the next year spend another and build on that rather than just throw it out the window and hope that something sticks, you know?
Well, now, even if you don't have a budget in mind already, get your story together, talk to a professional, and then say, okay, give me three options. I can do it for $5,000, I can do it for $10,000, I can do it for $20,000, or maybe $300,000, $500,000, and $800,000. Whatever it is, they can do that, ladies and gentlemen. I encourage you to check that out. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Lois Geller. It's 10 Till. Back 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Lois Geller is our guest, and Lois, the book Customers for Keeps: 8 Powerful Strategies to Turn Customers into Friends and Keep Them Forever. Folks, this is an important book. It really will help you, I believe, make your customers come back time and time again. There's so many great ideas. There's so many human ideas in this book and thoughts and practices in this book that I think will help you with your business. I'd encourage you to get it and share it with your employees. Lois, again, congratulations on that book. It's really great.
Thank you, Jim.
Tell us where your books are available besides on your website.
They're available at barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com. And many of the Barnes & Noble stores and Border stores have Response.
Mm-hmm. And that's the revised expanded edition, right?
Yes, it is.
And check that out when you can. And also Mason Geller, GELLER.com, her website. And don't forget all the things that are available on her website, folks, that she makes available for free. And I congratulate you on that, making those all the marketing and the direct mail and the customer care articles that are there. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about direct marketing. We've got a program now. We've identified a little bit of a marketing plan, and the people that we're talking to are recommending a little bit of direct mail. What would that look like?
Well, the most important thing about direct mail is that you put together a plan as to how many you can actually afford to send out. And if you're going to do it, you know, a certain 100 a week, or you're going to do 5,000 in a clip, whatever it is, you have to kind of decide what the costs are. I think the most important thing creatively to think about is what your message is going to be in that direct mail piece. What is your offer going to be? What is the thing that's going to make people get off the dime and buy something or call you or do something? Because you want people to interact with you, and maybe you don't want to have them buy something immediately, but you'd like them to call. Did you ask them to fill out and send back to you? Well, start the relationship, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know the outer envelope is the most ignored part of a direct mail piece.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can use some bold headlines, something that would amuse people, create what we call a teaser, make it look appealing. I spent the extra money on many of our clients' businesses using a live stamp on the outer envelope. That always gets it opened.
A live stamp?
Yeah, a live stamp, a real stamp.
A real one, huh?
A first-class stamp or a third-class bulk mail stamp
mm-hmm.
that you can get for...
Not a machine stamp, the one you lick and stick.
Yeah, lick and stick is the one. And they can do it in a letter shop if you're going to mail a lot. But if you're going to do it in-house, I think a live stamp is irresistible. Most people will open the envelope.
It helps to make it not look like bulk mail, doesn't it?
It really does.
Which it wouldn't be bulk mail.
No, it wouldn't. Well, it could be bulk mail because it could be a bulk mail live
yeah,
stamp that you put
yeah,
on there. But if it's a stamp, it looks. We're not trying.
And make sure when you put the stamp on, put it a little askew so they realize that a human being actually put it on there. Don't put it on perfectly.
That's right. We hand address some envelopes. You know, we just moved to a new area in Florida, and we wanted to get the attention of some client prospects.
Isn't
in the
that
area.
A good idea for a really small business? I mean, you know, sometimes. You know, if you did a great direct mail, Lois, uh-huh. for a small business, you could actually get them too much response, couldn't you? Where they couldn't handle all of it.
Well, that's happened more than one time.
That's a high-class problem, but it could happen. And my point is isn't it better to send out 40 or 50 at a time than it is for a lot of small businesses and do them in-house, do them kind of personally than it is to for some small businesses than it is to shotgun thousands?
Well, it really depends on the kind of business it is. You know, we're working with a man who sells photographs right now, and he's right before Christmas, and he's sending out about 5,000 pieces a day because we've already projected that he wants to sell, you know, 10,000
right.
of these photographs. These Life magazine photographs. So it really depends on the kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a consultant, you certainly can't have five new
right.
clients or 50 new clients this week.
But that's the reason why you need to get a professional to help you, folks. And if you're like me, you're not a professional at marketing, get somebody to help you with that. And that's what I do. That's what Lois does. And there are a lot of other folks out there who do that. So I encourage you to do that. Lois Geller, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's always a pleasure, Lois. Lois Geller,
thank
ladies
you,
and gentlemen, the author of Response and Customers for Keeps. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I will see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.